Oliver Nelson and Eric Dolphy share the lead in this tune titled 6 and 4. Nelson is on clarinet, Dolphy is on clarinet and flute, Richard Wines is on piano, George Duvivier is on bass, Roy Haynes on drums. This is from Nelson and Dolphy's 1961 album, a collaborative effort titled Straight Ahead. And that's what we ought to be doing today, moving straight ahead and being brutally honest about where we are and where things are, because we've been living in limbo for quite some time. We're waiting for people to make a definitive move. It's not happening. And then where the action is not where we want it to be. The person making up all the stuff, the person who is causing a lot of tra-la-la out here is Donald Trump. And he is making the case in so many ways that he is entitled, not just he would like to be, but he's entitled to be president, since the presidency was stolen from him by Mr. Biden. So attached to that is a feeling that, you know, there is a dilemma. I don't understand what the dilemma is, but for discussion purposes, we cannot ignore the fact that for many people, there is a dilemma. And they would have us believe a very true dilemma. And the dilemma is how to get Donald Trump back in the White House. Trump, as you know, and I've said for years, I just want to lay my own claim to this, for years, before Trump even thought or said he was going to run for president, since New York, I've been talking about the fact that this person, Donald Trump, has been getting away, or had been getting away, with just unbelievable stuff. The lies were just monumental and flowing. If you believe Donald Trump, he is God. With a black coat and a red tie and a white shirt. That's his getup. An orange colored skin coming out of a spray can. And speaking of spray, so is his hair, sprayed to within a millimeter of its life. Since back then, he was talking about running for public office because there's nothing he can do. There's nothing he can't do, sorry. He can do everything well, better than anybody at any time in history. I had been saying for years, the best thing that could happen to Donald Trump is that somebody with a high degree of persuasion over him persuades him to go into treatment, because he clearly has a problem, a mental problem, a psychiatric problem. I reiterated this so often, it got to be boring after a while. What is this guy doing trampling in the field of public office? Is there nobody who could rein him in and demand? Is there nobody who could even persuade him, let alone demand, that he needs to go someplace and get his brains unscrambled and then re-scrambled? He is so off the wall. Everybody knew it. This was not a secret. I've been talking about it and talking about it, that he is what they have now come to admit, a clear and present danger. Since back then, I was talking about this. But this is one of the clear advantages white supremacy holds for people who are very, very dedicated to it. How dare you suggest there's something wrong with Donald Trump? He is the guy for the job. He's got lots of money. He doesn't. He knows what he's doing. He doesn't. He is the perfect person. He has met all kinds of people from all over the world. Maybe a few. But he is way off center psychiatrically. Well, some months passed, and what do you know? An organization of psychiatrists and psychologists issued a report that they wrote that warned, in fact, that was the title of their report, A Duty to Warn. In that report, they spelled out all of the main reasons that they could discuss, all of them that they can discuss publicly, as to why this man must not be allowed in public office, and he's a danger to himself and to the public. People brushed it off. As a bunch of psychiatrists, what do they know? Now, this is long after I first said it. This guy is not wrapped too tight. But, again, white supremacy. He's a white guy, and all of the myths followed. He's rich. He knows all kinds of people. He could get things done. He's a mover and a shaker and all that other kind of stuff. They did not mention in the litany of all the wonderful things that Donald Trump is that he also has a problem with leaving women alone. He's a sexual predator. He has been confronted with those charges many times. The last discussion we had about that was a woman who was at a major department store in New York City, and she was trying on some clothes, and he barges into the fitting room and allegedly sexually assaults her in the fitting room. Is that the action of a person with a sound mind? And then we have testimony from his then lawyer, his own lawyer, confirming that he was the guy that Trump designated to pay women for their sexual favors, to entice them to offer sexual favors. And there were many. Is this a person who is tightly wrapped? Is he sane? So, and there's more, lots more. I don't need to get into a dossier because we'll be here all day. But this is the person that New Yorkers were induced and persuaded to support. Run for mayor. Well, that didn't work out too well. Well, run for president, which he did, and he became president. Still carrying that bundle of negatives with him that didn't go away. In some cases, it got even bigger. But Trump, 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 Trump. Okay. Nothing, I should say, practically nothing he says is true. If Trump says the sky is blue, go outside and check it for yourself and get some others to attest that they agreed with your assessment the sky is blue, because it more than likely is gray. This is a mentally unfit person. There's no question about it. But the nation, a white supremacist loving nation, grabbed this man by the scruff of his neck and made him a hero. And now he is in for some vengeance. Why? Because he was denied. Awful people denied him the presidency again. So there's payback time. And all he has been doing since that time till now is figuring as many ways as possible as that he could get into the White House again. And what he has to do to counteract the truth that people have established. Legal people have established about him, how he runs his businesses, how he deals under the table, this highly suspicious activities, business activities. He hasn't gone to jail. He hasn't been called before a court to answer any questions. They've left him alone, but now he's ratcheted things up. And he is hell-bent on getting the prize again because he has additional plans. The plans he had before was to rule the United States. He's the king of the United States. It's all his. It's his property. It's his right. Now he wants to move into the global sphere where he's king of the world. I'm telling you, this sounds like I'm making it up, but I'm not. I'm not. He has been let loose, and he is loose. What is befuddling is Joe Biden. Joe Biden is acting like he's already lost the presidency, and he just barely began. He is not coming across, I hate to say it, he's not coming across like he knows what he's doing. He's not coming across as if he is absolutely dedicated to A, B, C, D, and E. He doesn't come across like he has a program, like he has plans, and he methodically is going after those plans becoming real. He's not acting like that. He's acting like he's tired. He needs a rest. He needs to sit down in a comfortable couch or something and get some rest. He acts like he has nothing else to give. He's given all that he can, and he's done. His administration is mimicking his behavior. It is very slow. It is not interested in confrontation. It is trying to appeal to people's better instincts. And hopefully, if enough people believe, well, things will go much better. But he doesn't act like a, you know, Les Brown, the noted public speaker, and he was on media before, radio, television. He used to say, you've got to be hungry. You've got to be hungry. If you're not hungry, if you don't have a burning desire to achieve something, then sit down. Stop annoying people with this lethargic attitude and response. Now, we just got through an example of this by watching how the administration dealt with Haitian migrants. In any way did that suggest that there are thinking people in the White House? Does that suggest that there are people who understand they have the power to create change? And they're going to do it. They're twiddling their thumbs. They're asking people what they think. And all of this. And Trump is having a field day just pointing out the obvious fact. They're not moving. And they're not moving fast enough when they do decide to move. So we have so far a contest. The truth, the truth and the whole lie. Which is it? Which side you're on? And I will say it for the record. I know people are going to be very upset, but you know, you have to deal with it. If Biden doesn't get the message by now, move on. Put him to the side. Get somebody who really wants this job and who knows how to do it, how to get things done. Definitively. Just because you're president doesn't mean that you know how to get everything done. If your limousine breaks down on the highway, could you fix it yourself? I don't think so. We have to send a message that we are not going to wait to see how things turn out and then we will deal with it at that point. No, we've seen enough. We have seen more than enough of what we will continue to get unless we do something. Light a fire under his butt. You don't do this, we won't do that. And this is not an if, this is a certainty. There's so much riding on the line here. We can't just be patient and wait and see and trust that you know what to do and in time you will do it. Get out of here. Get out of here with that. You and your administration need to act like you understand the situation of this country and particular populations within it, and you are riding at speed. You're riding at speed in the quest to solve these problems. You're not taking your time. You don't have energy. Fine. Get out. Get somebody in there who knows what to do and has the energy to do it. And this business, blacks basically, especially blacks and Latinos, well, he's doing the best he can. We don't have time for those stupid excuses anymore. Lives are on the line. Futures are on the line. And we have a right, based on the record, we have a right to make demands and to expect those demands be met. This is outrageous. People are acting like they have nothing but time. We have a nut who almost got into the White House for a second time in order to specifically, there's only one plan he has, and that is to wreak havoc and vengeance and to restore white supremacy to its supremacy in this country. You may think that that's a joke. You may think that, well, it's not that serious. I am telling you, it is. For all the reasons that he should not be a viable political entity, guess what? He is, just the same. He is. Biden can think that he will get away with just, you know, dealing with Trump as, you know, a minor interference. It means that you've lost your mind. Because it isn't really about Trump. For Trump, it largely is about Trump. But Trump is also, pay attention, people. He is also on a mission. He's on a mission to revive supremacy, not just in the United States, but in every part of the world that the United States has some degree of favor. Some degree of support. That's what he's going to do. As I said, people will have to start admitting this man is not right in his head. Even his own niece, who is a psychologist, says so. She wrote a book explaining it. She just finished a public statement saying he is still a clear and present danger. And people are, you know, thinking they have lots of time and we'll see how things turn out and they'll have more meetings and they will write more memos to the Biden administration and see if they can get something going. You're already late. You are already late. And you better wake up, because the people, the grassroots people who place their faith in you, owe it to themselves to see to their interests. They should abandon you, move away from you in the millions, go someplace else. Where would that be? I don't care. As long as it is no longer with Biden. Biden can't live up to the task, move away. And build something new. There's no need to be so, you know, loyal. He's not loyal to you. He is not being loyal to anybody except people who can affect his bottom line. But he's still in this slave mentality of, well, he's a nice man and he's trying to do the right thing and he just needs a little more time. We are out of time. We have no time. And if you can't get your act together by now and indicate to people where you're going, get him out, because he's going to be a danger to you. Build something else. Support someone else. Create a new party. Do something, except sit down and wait to see how it all turns out. We know already how it's going to turn out. The way it always turns out. So that's what I'm saying today. We either admit that we embrace the big lie, or that we insist on the whole truth. That's it. We take a break and come back to your thoughts right after this. You're listening to Lead Stories on PRN.FM. We're taking a decidedly serious turn today because we are wasting time. And we're wasting time because we keep hoping that promises will be fulfilled, that we will be saved. No, that's our job. Save yourself. Make a promise to yourself and your children and your community to do the right thing. And don't wait. 888-874-4888 is the number. It's a harsh reality, I must admit. It is a harsh reality, but we're not in the habit, for some reason, of facing harsh realities. We think it's so rude and it's so tough to do. We don't want to disappoint people. We don't want to give them the bad news. Give them the bad news and give them the bad news now. Because it also informs your actions. Once you give people the bad news and you tell them what's what, you are also obligating yourself to make it a self-fulfilling prophecy. You're not making an idle threat. You're moving on. If this party is not the party, get another party. If Biden is not the guy, get another guy or woman, somebody. But this has got to stop. And it's early. Now, this is the thing. That's what's so scary. It's early in his administration. And yet we're so far gone. What is the point of waiting to see how things will go further down the line? We already know. 888-874-4888. We start off today with Patricia from New York. You're on the air.
Good afternoon, you, Trace, and good afternoon to the PRN family. I hope all is well.
Thank you. Good afternoon to you.
As you know, I tend to be somewhat action-oriented. I make phone calls. So yesterday I had the opportunity to speak with Reverend Sharpton once again on his Sunday radio show. And my message to him was, which is not one that he appreciated hearing. I was very, very clear with him yesterday. I shared with him that the Democratic Party has asked Black Americans to give Joe Biden a pass so that he could be in that White House position. And I said, and Black Americans did. And for that, they have gotten the Haitian experience, which is Haitians are a proxy for Black people, not only in this country, but around the world. And I shared with him that just last week, the Democrats approved a $6 million reauthorization of the Israeli missile dome, missile defense system, so that they can continue to kill more brown skin people in the name of the Palestinians. So I said to him, look, come next year, Democrats are going to be asking people like me and people that I know to give Joe Biden another chance. And I said to Reverend Sharpton yesterday and to Gregory Meeks, who was on the air, and to the New York City tri-state area who were listening, I said, Black Americans have a very, very low insult meter. I said, but I have a very high one. And so come next year, when you come to me, I'm not coming to you. So, of course, his response was that he is always offended at people who don't do anything in the movement who come and, you know, Monday morning quarterback. Unfortunately, there's not the opportunity to have this interaction like you and I are having now. Once you make your comment, they disconnect the call, so you never have an opportunity to respond back to whatever people say. But essentially, his position was people like him, people in the civil rights community, people who, Black elected officials like Gregory Meeks, who was on, that they are doing the best that they can. And what I wanted to, what I said to them was, Black Americans are out of time. So, you know, at every opportunity, I make an effort to make contributions where I can, and that was my contribution yesterday.
A very good contribution. And it's time that it multiply and that people really understand you're not just talking out of your head. You are contributing a vital service, which is getting people to recognize the reality that we are living. This is not theoretical. This is actual life. And we still don't seem to have a resolution as to where we're going and what we will put up with and what we will not. And it's time to do that. Yeah, thanks, you know, Patricia, for getting us started today. 888-874-4888 is the number to call. We're talking about, are you going to go with the big lie, continue with the big lie, or are you going to face the whole truth? 888-874-4888 is the number to call. And let's see what your opinion is. 888-874-4888. You know, every distinct political community has embedded in its mind what they're there for, what they have to do, how they measure their success. We keep repeating the same things over and over again, getting the same dismal results over and over again, and we never take it personally. We always have a reason. We always have some kind of explanation as to why we just have to continue to wait some more before a pattern emerges that says, I'm working for you. I've brought home this, I've brought home that, I've brought home the next. No, that doesn't happen. And I'm saying, cut that out. Before we go any further down the road, let's get an understanding as to what has been achieved, what is going to be achieved, when, and get some deliverables. It's not happening so far. And the sad part of it is, the guy who is winning isn't even running yet. He's not even in the White House. He's not even a politician yet. And yet he has put in place the pieces of the puzzle for himself that are important to be predictable about winning whatever it is he wants to win. And he's clear about that. And he's crazy. This guy has no intention of being a saint. He has no intention of being even-handed. No. He has one main point, and that is, I must win, I must prevail, so that my whole entourage prevails. If you're part of the entourage, you know all the things we've been discussing that must be done and that must be achieved, and that is my focus. And he is stuck to it. 888-874-4888. So are you sticking with the big lie, or are you going to deal with the whole truth? That's my question to you. Which way are you going on this? Or are you still waiting for more time to think it over, to ponder the depth of the question? Yeah, you'll find out the depth of the question when you are face to face with it and on the losing side. 888-874-4888. Is this a time to be talking about, well, we have to look at both sides of the coin? No, you only need to look at one side of the coin, really. That's the way you're supposed to see it. Brother David from Brooklyn, you're on the air.
Yes, good afternoon. I've been thinking about what we're talking about today, and what comes up to me right away is what I see is the fact that the people have no party. Yes, we have no party here in this country under the system that we have here that represents the masses of people. And that's the problem. So yesterday or so, I got a ballot, and I looked at it, and it was so ridiculous that on this ballot, the same person was running under all parts of the Uniparty, Republican and Democrat, and even they had another group, the conservative. And you're supposed to be making choices. So people have to get to the point where they understand that they can't continue to do the same thing and support in a uniparty. That's what this is. And this party is controlled by the oligarchy of the ruling class, And until we stop voting Republican and Democrat and that gang that runs things, things are going to stay the same. We have to get to the point where when we see something like I saw on that ballot, we do a write-in. We can't continue to do the same thing over and over again. It's a matter of doing something radically different, and that might mean for those who are so in love in the African-American community with the Democrats that they would stop voting for them. It has to be, because that is the only way things are going to change. Because as I have emphasized before, both of these divisions of the one party, the Republican and Democrat, own absolutely, positively, absolutely, positively owned by the oligarchy and the ruling class. They run it. So they play with you and make you think you have a choice, but everything they do is for their benefit as much as they can, and they only do one thing for you. They throw out just enough in terms of bones to keep you quiet if they can, and if you rip a little, they put a few bones out with some meat on it, and that's it. So this doesn't work for people. Imperialism doesn't work for the average person here. All these bases, and nearly 1,000 bases in different countries, how does that benefit the people here who don't have jobs, who don't have homes, who are on the verge of poverty? This is all for the benefit of the ruling class and their corporations and whatnot. So half the budget that goes for this wasted military, buying these aircraft carriers and equipment, airplanes and so forth, this does not benefit the masses of people. That's why we don't have health care. That's why we don't have a free education or real education that we deserve. That is why we don't have the homes we need. That is why we're living in the conditions we are living in, while the ruling oligarchy and the ruling class is collecting all the money that comes about as a result of the imperial policies of the country and how we dominate all the smaller countries. And some people I know have noticed, I've heard them mention things like Confessions of the Economic Hitman, how the ruling class controls these small countries and talks this total nonsense about democracy. We do not have a democracy, because if we had a democracy, things would be done that benefit the people. The Congress, they lean towards benefiting the corporations and the ruling class, not what the people need. And we've got to understand that, and we got to get the mass of the people, no matter what their phenotype is, have got to stop supporting these two terrible groups in the ruling class called Republican and Democrat.
Thank you very much. Thank you for your contribution today. Ed from Queens, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Therese. How are you?
Good afternoon, Ed.
Good afternoon. Unfortunately, I got to agree with David. There really is no alternative in this political system. The system is flawed beyond repair and corrupted by too much big corporations, big money. And the average working person can't really get a voice in there. My thing has always been, as I've said it before, I'll say it again, all politics is local. And if you can control your local area, like we did in East New York back in the 90s, you can get some results, some tangible results for your local area. Hopefully that'll catch like a wildfire. We can make some moves agreeable to the Tea Party. If you look at the Tea Party's history, as far as before it became AstroTurf, it was a local movement. They took over everything in the local arena, from councilmen to dog catcher and mayors and governors. And they established something, and they got some things done. Whether you love or hate them, they got things done. Newt Gingrich, the contract on America. You know, that is the only way that you're going to be able to influence this government en masse, if you can develop a local base and build from there. But if you're trying to assault this through national politics, through general elections for president or Congress or even senator, they're too compromised. They're the lesser of two evils, or the evil of two lessers. And the system itself is corrupt, from the Electoral College to the gerrymandering of districts. National politics is too screwed up.
So let me ask you.
Say again?
Does Biden give you any reason to feel a little bit more confident that the Democratic Party, or that he gets it?
No, they don't get it. They don't get it. I mean, they only get it insofar as how it affects their immediate future or their immediate plight. But beyond that, they don't get it. I mean, it's obvious. Neither of these quote unquote political parties get it. They're comfortable where they're at, and the American public doesn't have the wherewithal for a real revolution, in my opinion. I mean, people talk about it, people pay lip service to it, but a real revolution, if they shut off the water, if they shut off the power, if you can't get your food, you know, I mean, that's what real struggle is. And I don't think that the majority of people could even deal with it, let alone abide for it. Like I said, the only hope for me is local politics. That's where I've seen the most results. That's where I feel you can establish a base, and you can agitate from there and educate, and hopefully it'll catch wildfire. Like I said, again, the perfect example is the Tea Party. That started off as a local movement. Started off in the Midwest, started off as a local movement. They took control of their districts, school districts, the municipal counties, governorships, senators, I mean, governors, state senators, city councils. They took those they put the people in those offices that were of a like mind, and they attained something. But other than that, you're just spinning your wheels.
Does Joe Biden, does he act like he understands the urgency that people are expecting him to act with?
He doesn't have any urgency. He doesn't have any understanding, my opinion, based on his actions, based on his mannerisms. He doesn't have the urgency of now. He's protected. He is a servant of empire. He has been from the beginning. He works with, he's a consummate politician. His aspiration was to become commander in chief, and circumstances and happenstance brought him this office by default. But he's not leadership material for the waters that we have to navigate if you want to keep this country together, which is another matter totally for another show. But America, yes, might not even be around in the next 25 years.
Thanks for your call today. We have come to the end of our program. We're out of time. But this is a conversation that should continue, because we are in, and we're not acting like it, we are in a desperate situation in terms of leadership. And the tasks before us and the consequences that face us if we don't get these tasks done, and don't get to them with a plan of some sort, we're up a creek. So thanks for calling in and listening today. Let's get together again tomorrow, do some more talking. Bye-bye.